Peter Gammons, MLB Network analyst.
Around the ball and gone.
Taking you inside Major League Baseball with the Hall of Famer, Peter Gammons.
Mully and Hanley, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Let's get out to the Home Run In Pizza Hotline. Try one on the grill at your next cookout. Visit HRIGrilling.com for instructions. And there we find Peter Gammons, the MLB Network analyst, and of course the Hall of Famer. Peter, great to talk to you this year again. How are you?
Good to talk to you. It must have been a lot of fun watching that Cubs Nationals game. However, it ended up for Cubs fans to be able to see Dempster and Strasburg hook up like that. I'm so amazed that, I mean, as great stuff as Strasburg has, to have Davey Johnson say after the game, "Well, we didn't really have a very good breaking ball," and then no, but he threw 68 out of 82 pitches for strikes when he's throwing 99 miles an hour. It's unbelievable how great this guy may be.
And here we are, Peter's Cub fans. It's great to see Demp out there striking out 10 and going as long as he did. But you're thinking also, well, I hope the scouts are watching because at some point they're going to trade him and you know move on.
Wow.
Because that's where we're at this year. It's just, when's Marlon Byrd getting traded? Is Matt Garza going to be here at the end of the year? Because it's all about the future, not this year.
No, but I think it'll be cautious. I mean, I don't think they're just going to go, okay, here, let's go trade everybody. I think that there'll be a fine line in there because the division is not that good. I mean, you know, we were trying to make predictions, and I ended up picking the Reds to win the Central, but I know that's not with a lot of conviction just because of their bullpen issues, some of their starting pitching issues. The Cardinals, to me, probably have the best bullpen. But, I mean, it's, you know, if the Cubs could at least be representative, they'll trade when they have to trade. The good news, if I'm a Cubs fan, is when Jed Hoyer and Jason McLeod took over the Padres, their farm system, I believe, was rated 26th or 27th baseball, and now they're rated number one. And what they did in a series of about five or six trades and the draft was completely alter the franchise. And I think that's what you'll see in this case too. I think that they'll be very careful about what they do, but when they do it, they'll try to. I think you'll see them really strike gold.
You know, it's interesting when we talk about that aspect of it, because obviously the draft is changing and the Cubs seem to have finally gotten it. And last year they went out and they paid guys, they paid for players that would be first round picks this year, later in the draft and all that stuff. And that was a strategy that Theo had used in Boston and one that San Diego, among other teams, had used. And I'm curious, how much will that affect what the Cubs are able to do now that there are new rules about how much you can pay in the draft?
Well, I think it makes it far more difficult. I mean, it's much more restrictive because you can only spend so much, and there are caps, and they can't go, you know, draft a guy in the ninth or tenth round and give him, if they really think he's worth it, $1.6 million. Or whatever, you know, you might end up giving a guy. Plus, there isn't as much time. You're not going to August 15th, you're going to July 15th. So I think things have changed and will change. I think what you're going to see is the draft rules being – I think it'll cost Major League Baseball a lot of extraordinary athletes. I don't think the Jeff Smarges of the world are going to play baseball in the new agreement. But I also do think that – it's going to help college baseball because I think a lot of guys on July 15th go, what the heck, I'll go to college and I'll go for 3 years or 2 years, whichever is the case on the age requirement. And I think that will be good. But and overall, I think that's a plus. But I also think that baseball is going to lose some extraordinary athletes. And I mean, just watching the Tigers yesterday, Austin Jackson would have gone to Georgia Tech and played basketball. Dexter Fowler would have gone to Harvard and played basketball. I mean, I do think that in terms of entertainment, great athletes are really important, especially where the game this year has begun to really evolve in terms of the regional sports networks and the amount of money that's being spent. That's great as long as you have entertainment to watch. And I hate the idea that we might take away from the sport by not getting as many great athletes.
What do you think about the likes of Joey Votto getting a 12-year deal? And the money's unbelievable, but the 12 years really is an eye-popper. No one's ever signed that in baseball. And guys like Ian Kinsler are thinking, well, the $80 million on the table's nice, but maybe it's not as much as Robinson Cano, and maybe I'll sit back and wait and see how that plays out in a year or two. MLB, I mean, one thing we talk about lockouts in the NBA and the NFL and everything else, the money train here in baseball is unbelievable with the amount of money they're making and they're spending.
It is. I mean, I was really surprised by the Votto contract just because Cincinnati is not a big market. They're very ambitious, and Votto is a great player. And they had traded Alonso in the Latos deal. So, I mean, that's it wasn't like they had a fallback plan for Votto. But I also think that in terms of the Kane signing and maybe even Kinsler, but certainly in the Votto's case, I think the specter of the Dodgers is tremendous. I mean, the fact when Frank McCourt was able to get the judgment from the bankruptcy court that he would decide who would buy who would get the team, not Major League Baseball. I mean, they whittled the candidates down, but in the end, you know, in most sale cases, Bud Selig and the executive council decides who gets the team. In this case, it was whoever gave Frank McCourt the most money. And once that came, you know that Magic Johnson and the ensuing television deal are going to demand big-name players and big-name entertainment. So I don't think the Giants had any choice. They had to get Matt Cain done. The Dodgers are probably, you know, I'm sure that the Reds were looking at the Dodgers thinking, you know what, James Looney's nice, but Joey Votto's a star. So I think that may have prompted it. Get it out of the way before the Dodgers start dabbling in their future.
He's the Hall of Famer, Peter Gammons. You see him on the Major League Network, and we'll get a chance to talk to him again this year. And, Peter, the White Sox kick off today. Boy, I shouldn't use kickoff, huh? They open their season at 110 today against Texas. Obviously a difficult place to play and a good team. What are your thoughts on the White Sox?
You know, they're one of the most confusing teams. I saw them a couple times in spring training, and I really don't know what to expect. I mean, you guys, they have so many people that's really, you know, between Peavy and Dunn and Beckham and Rios and Vicieto, it's really hard to know what are they going to be. I think they're going to be better than people think. I think that the starting pitching will be representative and pretty good. And I've always been a great believer in Don Cooper's ability to take power arms and make them a viable bullpen. And I look, you know, I look at what they have there with, you know, Thornton Crane, fine, but I'm fascinated watching Hector Santiago. Mm-hmm. I really like that guy, and Addison Reed and Nate Jones and Zach Stewart. I mean, they could end up with a really good bullpen. And, you know, in a division which, you know, clearly the Tigers are the team to beat, and I, you know, could easily win 100 games. But otherwise, I mean, I think that the White Sox can be better than people think. I've seen them pick for last by several. I just don't see that happening. I think that bullpen will be so good by the end of the year, and they'll get about three of those question mark everyday players to hit. And they'll end up with 80-something wins.
Dale Swaim got baptism, maybe not by fire, but by wind yesterday. What do you think about this? Everyone knows Theo, and we've talked about Theo and Jed and everyone else, but Dale Swaim, Chris Bosio, and that coaching staff, what do you expect from them on the north side?
I really like them. I've known Dale pretty well for a long time, and I one thing about him, when he was in Milwaukee, I found it really interesting that the star players, the guys like Fielder and Weeks, gravitated to him. They really trusted him. And in spring training, I was struck by Dale's presence. I really do believe managers should have presence. And I think he's really got it. And I think that he's a guy who has great conviction in what he does. Players trust him. And I think he's going to be a major success. I think Robin will be a success. I was a little, you know, befuddled by hiring a guy who hadn't managed. But Robin's very smart. He has a great ability to laugh at himself. He's got an extraordinary pitching coach. And, I I think he'll be successful. I don't think he'll worry about things. Plus, I don't think it's a bad thing for the White Sox to be free of the constant tension between Kenny and Ozzie. I think it just wore everybody down after a while. It's going to be very interesting to see how Robin does. I presume that Nolan Ryan's not going to run out to home plate today.
Ceremonial noogies. Yeah.
You know, Robin's problem, Peter, is that he's going to be second-guessed by Paul Konerko all over the place.
Who's going to be the player manager?
Yeah, he was going to be the player manager, Kenny told us. Hey, what did you think of the opening day being in Japan, and then you got the World Series champs being sent to Miami for the opening of the stadium? It just seems like a bizarre kind of start to the season in two different levels.
I understand why they like this thing, the trip to Japan, and I know that most of the people who went really enjoyed it. The A's particularly really took it for what it was, a cultural experience. But I don't like it. I mean, it's, you know, the pomp and circumstance at 2:45 in the morning is not that great, you know.
And not televised either.
I know. I mean, and so, I don't know. I understand why they're doing it, but I think it does take away. I loved the open. I thought it was great to send the Cardinals to Miami. I mean, I think that's fine. I mean, they like to have that opening night the night before. It's part of the ESPN deal. I get that, but I did feel that the real opening day was yesterday at Wrigley, at Comerica, in Philadelphia. I mean, in Pittsburgh. I just thought that yesterday was opening day and Wednesday was like the prelude, you know, the prelude before the theater, you know.
Hey, Peter, thanks a ton. We appreciate it. Great talking to you as always.
Thank you. It was great to talk to you again.
That is Peter Gammons from the MLB Network, the Hall of Famer, always with some interesting take on things.